Then a cloud came and a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I apologize to you right now, because you may be expecting something a little different. Normally, when we have this great Mass here in Pinos Wells, we have a beautiful time meditating upon San Jose, our great patron. We talked about him last time, the glories of St. Joseph. We call him Joseph the Just, the Joseph most pure, the terror of demons, like we talked about in Duran this past year. Or when we speak of him as the patron of men, the patron of workers that we spoke about last time, patron of the family. Now, these are all the great things that St. Joseph is. Or sometimes we talk about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who our socias here honor so dearly in their hearts. But today we have something different. Something different which is born out from our Catholic faith, because today at Pinos Wells in our fiesta, it's not a normal fiesta here. We have, as we started the Mass, we talked about the transfiguration of our Lord. This moment when our Lord was completely transfigured. And does anybody know? Does anybody know what it was that Jesus was doing right before that, when he was bringing his disciples up Mount Tabor, when he revealed his glory to them? Tell me, what was special about the timing of that? Does anybody know their scriptures? Huh? You said it. The crucifixion, that's right. You see, Jesus was about to be crucified. And so he brought his disciples up the mountain to pray so that they may be strengthened in this. So he was ready to get in his passion and his death, ready to enter on upon his cross, and so he showed them this. So why did he give them all this glorious light beforehand? Was it just something like the fireworks that we have on the 4th of July that is so great and beautiful, and then just so that they could get ready to go through the drudgery of the work week that follows after that? Was that what Jesus was preparing them for? No, he wasn't. He wasn't. What he was calling was the transfiguration gives us an insight, gives his disciples an insight into who Jesus really is. Who he is at his core. Underneath all that flesh and blood, there's something luminous. Beneath the ordinary cover of his humanity, there lies an extraordinary core of Christ's divinity. And he wished to show him that, because the humanity and the divinity of Christ are two things which are completely inseparable from another, because he is both God and he is man, both at the same time, not one destroying the other. This is what we believe, right, as Catholics. We believe this. But you know, the Muslims and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny this, right? They deny that Jesus is both God and man. They want to boil him down to just being a regular man like you and me, maybe a little bit cooler than the rest of us. But the same. They deny his divinity. But we believe something different. We believe that he is both God and man at the very same time. And I tell you the truth, brothers and sisters. I tell you that we as Catholics, we are the ones who truly are the witnesses of Jehovah. Because we believe in the mystery of the transfiguration which we have before us. The mystery that Jehovah God is revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, not just man. I tell you the truth, that word Muslim, do you know what that word means? It means one who submits. It means, so a Muslim is one who submits to God, to his will. But I tell you the truth, that we as Catholics, we're the true Muslims. We're the true Muslims because by that I mean that we're the true submitters to God. We fully submit ourselves to God because we recognize that God is the Father and that God is the Son, Jesus, that the two of them are equally God with the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And so we pay attention to the words of God which he says to us in the Gospel today. What does he say to us? He says, "Then from a cloud came a voice, the voice of God the Father, that said, 'This is my chosen, beloved Son. Listen to him.'" Escúchale. Therefore, we must listen to him. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to listen to God, to be listeners to the voice of God. The disciples needed this experience of coming to God, coming to him and to see his divinity and to hear the Father speak so that they could endure the sufferings and the trials of the cross that were about to come in just a short time after them. So that when they saw all these horrific events, which we display so proudly at the front of our church, because we know what happens afterwards, that they wouldn't be lost in despair, lost in hope at the suffering of the one who they loved so dearly. Because they had hardships which were ahead and they needed to see the luminous of his glory that was revealed within. To remember that he is not just a man, but he's God. So we too need to listen to the voice of God to get through the hardships that we face in our lives. The two have a parallel. That's why they remember this story and proclaim it for us, so that we may not lose hope either. "This is my chosen beloved Son. Listen to him." In Spanish, "Esto es mi hijo escogido. A él oíd." or escúchala. We believe these things. Listen. And when we are called to listen to God, what does that assume? Doesn't that make an assumption that he's saying something to us? Doesn't it? For us to listen to God, that means we're waiting for something that he's going to give us, that he's going to say. And so we're waiting for that, for him to speak to us in this way. You see, God is always speaking to us, though, even though it doesn't feel like he's speaking to us in certain situations in our lives. But he does through simple signs, through simple occurrences that sometimes people call coincidence, which are really divine providence. Through our little quiet moments that we spend when a word of wisdom comes and strikes us out of nowhere. And especially, he speaks to us at Holy Mass, which we're all at right now, each and every Sunday. But the question for us is not, is God speaking, but are we listening? Right? Are we actually paying attention to him? Because if he's speaking all the time and we can't recall hearing him all the time, then maybe we're not listening to him all the time. Do you remember the first thing? Tell me, what does God say to us? Does Jesus speak to us? What does Jesus say to us? Can you think of anything that God has ever said to you? Kind of a quiet crowd. He spoke to you, open your heart. That's a beautiful thing. And yes, I'm sure that's exactly what God spoke to you. There are things that he speaks to us often, right? Well, do you remember the first time when a voice came out from heaven and spoke in the presence of Jesus? Does anybody remember when that moment was? Say it louder. At his baptism. At the baptism of Jesus Christ. What happened? After Jesus was baptized, out from the clouds parted, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus as a dove, and a loud voice called out, saying, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." These two moments, brothers and sisters, bookending his ministry. Remember, after his baptism, he begins his ministry. And then, at the end, God calls out again and says the exact same thing that he said at the beginning. Listen to it. Pay attention. This is Christ's beloved Son. At his baptism, this is what's happening. So when was the first time that God spoke to you? Somebody said it. Baptism, that's exactly right. These are all leading questions. I'm helping you along the way. Yeah? At your baptism, did you know that God spoke to you? Is my little Aubrey here? Yeah, she's right there. Is my little Gabriel here? My little Christian Gabriel? Yeah, both of them are there. Hopefully they're all out right now. Yeah? Yeah? Well, they heard the voice of God speak to them today. Because at our baptism, God says something to us. And what does he say? Godmother, what does he say? I can't see you right now. Are you here? Oh, there you are. You're right in front of me. That's why I couldn't see you. What does God say to us on our baptism? No.
Open your heart and receive.
He says the exact same thing that Jesus said, that God said to Jesus. God the Father said to Jesus on his baptism. He says, "This one is my beloved Son. This one is my beloved daughter. With this one, I am well pleased." You see, God speaks to us, and from that very first moment when we become Christians, we hear the very voice of God. He speaks to us in the intimacy of our heart so that we can never forget that we belong to him. Brothers and sisters, we talk about the forgiveness of sins, which is super, super important with baptism. But yea, maybe even more important is the fact that we become his sons, that we become his daughters, and that changes our relationship with God forever, something that never is taken away from us, that he never turns his back upon. So each one of you can say, even if you've never heard a voice call out from heaven, know that on the day of your baptism, God spoke to you then. You are his beloved sons and daughters, and you can't forget it, that God takes pleasure in you. I said this at the baptism, so this is a repeat for those who were there. But little Gabriel can't do anything to be pleasing to anybody, right? He can't help me at Mass, can he? He can't help me carry the things. He can't write a paper for me or write my homily for tonight's Mass, can he? He can't really help me, right? So how can he be pleasing? How can I take pleasure in him? Not because of anything he can do for me, but only because of who he is. You see, God's the same way. He takes pleasure in us, not because we go to Mass each and every Sunday, not because we say all of our prayers, we pray the rosary. These are all good things, and we need to do them. But he doesn't take pleasure in us because of that. He takes pleasure in us because of who we are. His. So even if we go away and sin, even if we, sadly, God forbid this to happen, that we spend eternity away from him because we've chosen to go to hell, a real thing, he still takes pleasure in the fact that we are his, because he never goes back on his promises, even should we choose against him forever. So great is God's love for us as sons and daughters. We hold to that, and that should give us confidence as we go forward. He says to us those very same things. And the only precondition he puts upon us is this. What he said to Jesus in today's gospel. Said to the disciples, "This is my beloved son, with him I am well pleased." Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. And when we listen to him, he speaks to us those exact same words. Speaks to us encouragement. So think about your life. Are things going the best in your life? Or are they going poorly? Listen to him. Are there stressors that are going on in your life and problems which are overrunning your life and seeming to always surmount? Listen to him. Is nothing making sense within your life? Are you going about aimless, not knowing where to turn next, don't have the direction or where you're supposed to go, you don't have your orientation, your bearings are all off? We feel utterly unfulfilled and lost. Escúchale. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus as he speaks to you. When we can't hear God, it isn't because he isn't speaking to us. It's because we just haven't put ourselves in a position to actually listen to him, to let him touch our hearts with his words of love and wisdom. But how do we get to that point if we can't hear him? The way we get to that point, I'll give you three easy steps. We could give a million of them, but you could boil them down to kind of like these three as basics, the fundamentals. The first of which would be confession. Confession is important because when we sin, we create barriers between us and God so that we can no longer hear him. After we go to confession, we're walking hand in hand with him, but each and every time we venture toward ourselves, we move into our sins, we distance ourselves. We put up blocks saying, "God, I can take care of myself, I don't need you." Or, "Your ways, I don't trust that you're going to take care of me." That's what each one of our sins do. But when we go to confession, the slate is clean. Again, we humble ourselves and are able to approach him and hold him walking hand by hand, removing that gap of mortal sin that if we don't, will eventually lead to us to other destruction, eternal separation from him, which isn't meant for human beings. Human beings do choose it. Going to confession opens us to, again, that way back to God, to heaven. That's the first way, is confession. But the second is related. Go to Mass. You're all at Mass today, right? Huh? That's good. It doesn't count for Sunday. Just so you know. It doesn't count for Sunday. This is not a Sunday Mass. But it's good that you're here. It is good that we are here. Sunday Mass is an obligation. And true, it's a mortal sin. If we don't miss, we all know that from studying our catechism. We're brought up on these things, right? And we can only miss if there's a grave, very, very serious excuse without separating ourselves from the love of God eternally if we are to pass without going to God for confession. But you see, Mass is where God speaks to us. He speaks to us in many ways. First of all, through the scripture which we read. Those are the words of life which he speaks to us. His words of wisdom, he inspires us. In the homily, what God does is we are instructed in right belief, but also in right living, right practice within our lives. And in the Eucharist, we receive his actual enduring presence in our lives, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Jesus is present in the Eucharist, right? And we have him within our bodies for 5 to 10 minutes of intense intimacy with Christ, where we can ask him anything that we want, any pressing question which we have, and we know he's right physically within us in that moment. And if we listen to him, in that moment we can receive his guidance, his encouragement. Believe me in this. Test him in this today. So second thing is go to Mass. But the third thing that we need to do is we need to make short prayers, those fervorinos, these ejaculatory prayers to God, not just once a day, but often, frequently. You see, you don't need to spend hours and hours on your knees in prayer. That's a good thing for nuns and for monks to do. Normal people can't do that for hours and hours a day. But what God is calling us to do is to do something different. You see, intimacy is not built upon spending hours and hours with a loved one, right? You spend a couple hours with a loved one, you kind of want to push them away and get some space, right? Yeah? That can be a little bit draining on us. And so sometimes spending long hours in prayer, if you're not accustomed to it, you're thinking about the football game or whatever else is going on. Yeah? But what real intimacy is built upon, think about your own dating relationships, is through frequent little visits. Little text messages that we see how somebody is going. Calling somebody each and every day by spending those short little moments and then going back and doing our own thing. That's what real intimacy is, and that's what God wants with you. Prayer is nothing other than, as the saints tell us, it's a conversation with God. And really, it's just a conversation with somebody who loves you beyond all measure. You can go to him with anything. And his short prayer is like shooting off a flare gun, saying a distressed call, that it goes up into the air to get God's attention, calling for help, a sign of distress, or an exclamation of great joy. And God is looking for that. And when we make those short ejaculatory prayers from our hearts, those are the things that move God's heart toward us. It's not through long hours, but through short moments. These are the three things. These are the three things that God has us, if we want to build intimacy with Him, and if we really want to be able to listen to Him, we do these three things. We go to confession to clear out all that sin in our lives. We go to Mass so that we can listen to Him, put ourselves within His presence. And we do those short ejaculatory prayers because we can't always be at Mass every single moment of our lives. That's what builds intimacy and relationship. It's really just that simple. But now let's prepare ourselves for that second one, Holy Mass. To see and receive His transfigured presence in the Eucharist within our very bodies, revealed for us before us. Let's go toward the Eucharist. Let us seek Him who's transfigured before us, that we may go where He is. Praised be Jesus Christ.